The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Thank you so much for the fact that you love us. Father, we thank you for the love that was demonstrated for us at the cross. Father, we thank you that no matter what is going on in our lives, that you want us to know, you want to disrupt us this morning with your love. And so I want to pray that on each one of us, that no matter where we're up to, that we would experience your love this morning in new and fresh ways. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take a seat. Last week, Rod started us on a series of our core values. We've got 10 core values that we sort of have as part of our DNA. And Rod started last week on the first one about authentic relationship with Jesus. And today we're looking at the second one, which is loving Christ-centered relationships. And I just wanted to read out the blurb that goes with that. It'll be on the screen, and it's also in your outlines in the community life. You can have a look there. But it basically says, LifeStreams aspires to be a church that is full of compassion. Full of compassion. So that people are drawn from all situations in life into a loving, accepting community that inspires hope and faith in Christ. We seek to have loving and respectful relationships between people. So there's a sense of full of compassion, and the overflow of that is inspiring people into faith and hope and ministry. Some of you know Emily Dickinson, most of you know, many of you know her. And Emily spent 15 months in the US and is now back with us. Emily, can you just come forward now? I just got Emily to share just some aspects of what happened in the US for her that really fits with what we're talking about today. So go for it.
For those of you who are here on Wednesday, I assure you I won't talk that long today.
Definitely won't.
For those of you who don't know, my husband Peter and I'm obviously American based on my accent. We lived in America for a year and a half. Before that, we were here. We went because a few reasons, but mainly because I was homesick and I felt like I wanted to go home. And it was a really tough year, actually, but also an amazing one that needed to happen. Being back home, people expected me to be the same as I was when I left, and I haven't actually lived in my hometown since I was 18. So there was one day that my grandmother, being sweet, told me to use two hands to get something out of the oven. You know, I assured her that I had cooked before, so that was okay. It was a lot tougher than I expected to go to a place called home, where I was so different and so unknown. It was a journey of surrender and one of amazing growth. And much of that growth has been through the power of love that I experienced this year. So the first love that I experienced was sacrificial love, and that was through my husband, Peter. Our life before we left was fantastic. I loved Australia, just my family wasn't here. Pete had decided that he wanted to change careers, and so he had gone back to study. He was doing very well. Everything was great. But I just wanted to go back to Tennessee. And Pete, in his ultimate wisdom, knew that Australia was a better country than America. But he stopped uni. We sold our house. We sold most of our belongings. And we shipped off to a country where people had funny accents and loved guns. So he is amazing. It took me actually months to realize how much he had sacrificed. But once I figured it out, I was actually astounded by the sacrificial love that he would give up everything to love me so much that he would move to America because I really wanted to. This sacrificial love actually softened my heart, and it really opened up the door for God to work in me. It also put in the desire, in me, a desire to reciprocate that love, and that was to Pete, but also to other people, because I had seen the power of the love that, you know, sacrificial love, that what it does. The second type of love I experienced was unconditional love through friends. When we left here, I felt more loved than ever, which was a great feeling. But in the States, obviously, then I was somewhat new and people didn't know me. So I wanted people to love me as much as you guys loved me, which is a lot. And I appreciate that. But it meant that I really strived to kind of earn this approval. And after a little while, I realized that these people probably weren't loving me for me. They were loving me because I was making an effort or trying really hard. So I got to a point of actually surrendering. And if I was struggling, I would just tell people. And if I needed prayer, I would tell people. And I was just me. And through that, I actually began a new depth of friendship where it was a mutual love and support. It wasn't me striving. It's this counterintuitive thing that God does where he says, you don't need to strive to be loved. I want you to be loved, and then the rest will flow. So out of that love, I gained confidence. Walls that I had put up to kind of protect myself, I broke those down. Like, this unconditional love broke those down. It took away so many of my insecurities and fears. And similar changes happen in the friends as well. It brought a new joy in my life, and that was a joy that wasn't always a smiley, happy joy because it was a tough year, but that joy remained in the pain and the tough times. I have one friend in particular. Our friendship grew while we were in the States, and she was a Christian, or is a Christian, but she had drifted away from God, and she was able to feel safe enough in an unconditional, loving friendship that she was able to ask questions that she wasn't feeling safe enough to ask other people, where she was able to grow in her relationship with God. We were friends with people who weren't Christians, and they started asking questions about God, just seeing that we loved them so much, and they could love us, and we could be real. And they started, you know, showing interest in coming to church and wanting to know more about God. And then my faith grew, because I was able to see this amazing power that came through God telling us to love people. It's difficult to put into words all the transformations that God does through love and through loving people and through being loved. I think I experienced what is a supernatural power of God through love. And I would love all of you to experience that if you haven't already. I told the young adults when we had a young adult supper a few weeks ago, and I'm going to tell you guys as well, that I think God is onto something when he tells us to love one another. Right? Don't you think?
Amen. Thanks, Em. How about we pray for him? Father, I thank you. I thank you for the work that you've done in him. Thanks for what she has given to us in the past, and thanks for the way you've transformed her even more through the sacrificial love of a husband, the unconditional love of others into her life, and just the willingness to be very real about her brokenness. And so, Father, I want to pray that you'd continue to minister out of your grace and your mercy into her life. And I want to pray for the overflow of that to be experienced by us here and by many others who are not yet in the kingdom. So, Father, I pray for her now in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Thanks. Give him a hand. I think God is onto something when he tells us to love one another. It's a good line. He is. Now, some of the words that came out of there, sacrificial love, not just a phrase, but an experience. She's experienced that. Unconditional love, not just of a God who may sometimes seem out there, but through people. And the whole thing of being real, of sharing something of the brokenness that is in us. You know, God is on about relationship. That's what God is on about. Father, Son, Holy Spirit is a relationship. God is all about relationship. He's on about love. He's on about acceptance. He's on about embrace. He's on about showing grace and mercy to one another. He's on about healing. He's on about restoration. He's on about releasing and empowering. He's on about relationship. In John 13, verse 34, Jesus said this, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Love one another as I have loved you. Christ died for us. Sacrificial, unconditional love. And then others will notice that there's something different. You know, I did a funeral last week as my cousin's husband. And it was a great time. You know, 250 people there. It was a really great opportunity to hear eulogies and stories of a man who was a fantastic bloke. And I get to share the gospel in a fairly gentle way with people that might not ever come to church. And afterwards, we're just standing around in the condolence lounge chatting to different people. And one guy came up to me and he puts his hand out and he says, "Congratulations." Well, that's an interesting word to use at that point. And he said, "I've been to 3 funerals in 4 days. And he said, "You're the only one that's mentioned anything about what's important." He said, "This whole thing about just hearing of a person's life, that's one thing, but to hear about eternity and to hear about life and death and God and your Maker," he said, "that's what we need to hear." He said, "I've got a meeting with a lot of these guys tonight. I'm going to be reminding them of what you've said." Because he said, "They won't be thinking about it." I said, "Good on you, Des." And we chatted a bit more and I just said to him, "Des, what church are you a part of?" And he goes, "I hate religion." He said, "I love God, but I hate religion." I said, "Yeah, I don't like religion either." And I thought, isn't that interesting? Which church are you a part of? I hate religion. His understanding, and he told me a bit about his background. I understood some stuff then. But basically, he linked church with religion and I don't like that. And you know, so many people have distorted views of the church based on either experiences or based on what they read, based on what they see in other people and how they're treated. So many different opinions. You know, I would love it for the church to be known as a healing community. A healing community. A bit like a hospital, but a healing community. Because we're full of broken people, aren't we? We're all broken people. We've all got stuff we're dealing with. There's brokenness there. But that whole sense of a healing community where broken people experience what it is to be loved and to be embraced and to be accepted for who they are. And therefore to have confidence built into them and to be restored and empowered for life and ministry. How good is that? Ephesians 4, Paul talks about Jesus setting apart apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers for the work of ministry. And it says that they are to equip the saints for the work of ministry. The word equipped, in this sense, the translation is something like the aligning of broken bones. So bones that have been broken are set and healed in such a way that they actually align so that they heal correctly. It's a beautiful picture of the healing community of church, that our role is to heal broken lives so that they set correctly, so they heal correctly, and so they are then useful again in the best possible sense. And so really, we work with the Holy Spirit in community alignment. Part of what our role is as Christians in a body of Christ. We work in that. And really, a truly aligned church where the bones are healing, when there's alignment of broken lives, the truly aligned church will be more and more full of mutual love and this sense of acceptance and the sense of embrace and nurture. And it's interesting that a mature body will often heal itself as well. Not always, but there can be this healing that happens because the body is healthy and mature. And so the more and more that we are involved in community healing, the restoration of broken lives, the more they start to heal themselves. We work with the Spirit in this. But the way to that is through our brokenness. You know, in James 5:16, James says this, "Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed." Confess your sins. In other words, share something of the pain and the brokenness in your life so that others can pray for you and be a part of that healing process. Now, it doesn't mean to say everyone stands up here and tells everyone, but we need to have people in our lives that we can share the brokenness with, that we confess our sin to. You know, too often fear or shame blocks that confession of sin, blocks that sharing of the reality of the brokenness. And therefore it hinders what God is doing, hinders the growth of the church. Now, spiritual aligning of broken people really comes out of the connecting in with one another. And it's crucial. It's crucial that we share and hear stories of one another. It's crucial that we get some sense of what's going on in other people's lives. Now, once again, it doesn't have to be everyone's life. But it's crucial that we've got a sense of what's going on in some of our friends' lives. That's how the healing happens, the equipping, the mending of broken bones. It's crucial that we let people see what is going on in our lives and what God is doing. We've heard stories of that already this morning, of what God is doing, what God has done in people's lives. But if we're not in loving, Christ-centered relationships, that doesn't often happen. Now, so this is where the just hanging out together is important. This is where things like home groups and life groups can be significant in our lives, where it provides a space where we can share something of what's going on in our life, something of our own struggle, and people can pray into our lives. It's like, as Emily said, she shared at the ladies' coffee night for a long time, apparently, but she was able to share a lot deeper about the brokenness. And people heard it, and can enter into her story and be praying for her. And it gives chance and it releases other people to say, well, maybe I can take the risk and share a little bit about my life. So we have the blokes' nights. We have two guys each time just share their story, and there's some fairly raw stuff comes out. It's an opportunity to open the space where people get to, in this case men, get a chance to hear the brokenness and what God has done and what God is doing. Releases people. It's very much a part of the healing. So as I think about loving Christ-centered relationships, we ask the question, well, how does God love us? How does Jesus love us? And obviously unconditional and sacrificial are there. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. It's all about generosity. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his love for us in that even when we're enemies of his, sinners, Christ died for us. So God's love for us is this demonstrated love in the maximum way, the death of a son. So how does God treat us? How does he love us? Unconditionally. We know that. We're just not good at it. And I guess in some ways he, through Jesus, it really helps us because he reveals himself to us. God always wants to reveal himself to us, to give us a taste of what he's really like and then pour his life into us. And so therefore a crucial element of the revelation of God to us is being involved with one another, being involved in loving Christ-centered relationships, because he puts us in a group of people who have some sense of what God is on about. And through that we get a picture. We get a picture of the reality of God. You know, God doesn't pressure us or fix us. He does whatever it takes to reveal himself to us. Because he's defined by love. So the more we actually understand how God loves us, the more it frees us to be involved in loving, Christ-centered relationships. The good thing is that God uses each one of us, each one in this healing community, to actually reveal himself to others. It's a bit daunting at times. And I love the fact that God delights in us. In Psalm 17 it talks about we are the apple of God's eye. Some of you don't believe that. But God actually delights in you. He delights in who we are as his forgiven children. He delights in us. He delights in who we will become as he continues to do a work in us. So my encouragement, intentionally delight in one another. Now I always love the fact that God looks for the good in people as well. He's not judgmental and sort of picks out all the faults all the time. He affirms us. And so for us again, as we focus on Christ-centered relationships, let's more and more practice this affirmation, this looking for the good in one another, and highlighting that. Because what that does is it releases us. It opens it up. Now, obviously, our role in relating with people is to pour favour on people. It's to bless. It's to add value to other people's lives. That's what God does. That's what Jesus did. Now, the other thing I think about with God is He loves to disrupt us. He doesn't say to us, "You're that bad and don't you forget it." He doesn't say that. He says, "I'm that good and don't you forget it. I am good and I am for you. I know you've sinned. I know you muck up. But I still want you to know I love you. Actually, I like you. I'm for you. And what's ahead is awesome." Constantly He's giving us a picture of hope, a picture of life. And that's grace, and that's mercy, and that's love. I'm in a life group with a few guys, and we were chatting a few weeks ago out of James 4. And Steve Dewing's one of the guys in the group, and he said, "You know, James 4, 1 to 4, he said, it just hit me. He said this, and I'll read it to you. You'll get a sense. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." What an uplifting passage. Fights, quarrels, desires that battle, want something, don't get it, kill, covet, quarrel, fight, wrong motives, spend on pleasures, adulterous people, enemy of God, hatred of God. How do we have Christ, loving Christ-centered relationships if that's what we're like? Verse 6. But He gives us more grace. And Steve said in our group, he said, "You know, that's the essence, isn't it? We are all like 1 to 4, but God, there's always a but God, He gives us more grace. He gives us far more than we deserve. Grace is the only thing that can change our soul. Grace is the power of God. But He gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says God is opposed to the proud and gives grace to the humble. You know, humility opens the door for us to experience grace in the midst of all of our awfulness. Humility is that thing that opens it up. I was chatting to Darren just the week just gone, and just about how I said, "You know, I've hurt someone." And I was talking a little bit about it, and he said, "Have you humbled yourself?" I said, "Nah." I've sort of made a move in that direction. But there's this sense of pride is just pulling you back all the time, you know? Pride just keeps you back there, and it's like, you dig in, stand off. What's the point? Humility opens the door. In all of our awfulness, it opens the door for the grace of God to be revealed and experienced in our lives. You know, there's a lot written about, and obviously today we have a lot of online stuff, communication. We've got technology around our world that just opens up communication. We have Facebook, we have Instagram, we have Twitter, we have heaps of things around us. And I guess the encouragement is that's all good. You know, some people think, "Oh, that's bad, can't touch that stuff." But I find Facebook's good, but I just encourage maybe a little more face-to-face than Facebook at times. And maybe when we go on these online things, it's not about attracting attention to ourselves, but it's about affirming people. It's about adding value to people's lives. Don't have to preach on there, but just to actually encourage. But we have a real life person here. Hey, Tam. This is Tam Jones. Hey. Some of you know Tam.
Hi.
What's on your heart and mind today?
What's on my heart and mind? There's a lot on my heart and mind today. A few weeks ago, I was privileged to be part of the staff farewell for Mel Crothers, who was our worship and creative arts minister. It was a time to honour her and the impact she's made not only in the life of our church, but also for many of us on a personal level. Upon reflecting on Mel and the blessing she's been to me, God has really spoken to me about the importance of good friends. When I first came to Life Streams, I was extremely guarded and fearful. As a newly separated single mother, I battled with my brokenness and what people would think of me. Those who know me would agree that I've tended to hide in the back corner on Sunday mornings. And while I still sit there, it's not so much about hiding anymore. Over time, God has worked on my heart and made his redemptive love realize this truth in my life. While still very scared, in time, he gave me the courage to express my interest in joining the worship team. This was a very big step for me, as I honestly felt that God may never use me again for service in his kingdom. For a long time, I had lost my sense of worth and value and felt like an outsider looking in. Mel Crothers was the worship minister at the time I took this risk and expressed my interest in joining the team. To you, it may not seem like a big deal, but for me, with all that I'd been through, it was pretty huge. Mel was so encouraging and reflected Christ's love to me, which has helped me to see how God is redirecting my life. There was never a time when I felt the weight of judgment from her. She didn't see me as just a divorced single mum. Instead, she embraced me and gave me opportunities to serve and grow. Mel empowered me in so many ways, and I'm extremely thankful. She invested both time and energy in me, and her friendship and discipleship has played a very big part in me realizing that God values me, regardless of the brokenness I'd known. God used Mel to extend his grace and love toward me, and that has released me to initiate relationship with others. To me, it is evident that God has used many of you sitting here today to extend his grace and love to others. Life still has its tough times. It doesn't always go as I'd like. But God has given me his peace and joy as I've tried to be willing to trust him, take risks as he leads, and be brave. And God has revealed to me that if I'm willing to do my part, then what results is loving, Christ-centered relationships. And that's pretty exciting.
That's pretty exciting. Yeah. Let's pray, eh? Father, I want to thank you for Tam. I want to thank you for Mel. I want to thank you that Tam bothered to take that risk. A risk in the sense of asking if she could be on the team. Father, I want to pray and thank you for that. I want to thank you for the fact that she did that. And that out of that, through Mel's ministry to her and encouragement, there has been an opening up of the beauty and the radiance of yourself in Tam's life. And so I want to pray that that continues, Lord. I want to pray that you would continue to minister grace and mercy into her life. And I want to pray the overflow would touch many others. Father, continue to strengthen her and energize her for the sake of your kingdom. Lord, again, we thank you for the steps of faith that she's taken and even for the willingness to share this morning. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. We commit it to you. Amen. Thanks, Tam. Give Tam a hand, yeah. You know, in some way, shape or form, you may identify with Tam, or you may identify with Mel. Tam, who was lacking confidence and wondered if, in her terms, as a divorced single mother, would I ever be useful to the kingdom again? Took that step, took a risk, and was embraced. So there you have, brokenness, you have humility, you have courage, you have valuing, you have empowering, you have delighting in, and you have a releasing and empowering, a healing community at work. Doesn't always work like that, because sometimes people like Tam choose to actually stay in the back row by themselves and not follow through on something that they're passionate about. Or someone like Jackie doesn't follow through with saying, right, oh God, yep, you've got to help me here. See, there's a risk involved, isn't there? There's a risk involved. It's a both-sided thing. I was chatting to Shani Brown from... Shani's a young Curtin student. Spent a year here from Meriden, a country student. I identify with country students. And Shani sent an email through to the staff just in... as a way of encouraging us, and she's allowed me to share aspects of that with you. And she said, since coming to Life Streams last year, I felt so welcomed and blessed to be a part of it all. I'm a relatively new Christian from a non-Christian family. The services have a great focus, and the new Friends Corner opened me up to many great opportunities and to people. I feel like God chose this church for me to attend because there are so many people here who are willing to support me in my journey and are passionate about doing so. I feel so blessed to be a part of it. Thanks to all of you, and God bless you. So it's been great to see Shani more and more released. And she got a great big smile, and she gives out so much. She's in a small group led by Scotty Gaunson and a few others, and it's just been great to see how that's really helped her in her growth and in her feeling like, I actually am welcomed and embraced here. So it doesn't, many of you don't know her, but to be known and accepted and embraced by some is significant, very significant. She's getting baptized in a couple of weeks. So it's exciting to see the journey of faith that she's on. You know, I know what it's like as a country uni student. You come up to the city and you feel like you're invincible, but you also feel very vulnerable. And I remember, as I reflected on this, just thinking back through the way, it's quite emotional actually. I guess it got me thinking, I don't know where I'd be if it wasn't for the embrace of people in this church. Makes a big difference. Obviously, certain people more than others, but gee, it makes a difference to be accepted and embraced. When you feel like you're on the edge all the time, not really sure of where your faith is, and to be embraced certainly helps. I was interested last week just to meet a number of uni students for the first time in Perth, some from Geraldton, some from Albany, Busselton, and they're all here. They came last week. Hope they come back. You know, I just know the value of actually embracing them. One of the girls that was here last week, her mum and dad came here back in the late 80s as uni students, met here, married, and now she's coming here. Good stories. Doesn't always happen. You know, I just pray that each of us, whether it's befriending and embracing country uni students or people who have come from interstate or overseas, or people that, like Tam, sit in the back and wonder, have I got any value anymore? As we embrace them, so powerful. So powerful. Loving Christ-centered relationships. You know, I'm just so thrilled. As I look around here, I see many people here who do this really well. It's just so much love and embrace. I see some people who have invested and sacrificed much for the sake of one person. And it's hard going. I'm just pretty privileged to know a lot of your stories and just know something of what you give. I just want to fan the flame on that and encourage you in that. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. There's so many broken people here. And we often present really well. But behind the presentation, there's a lot of stuff that's going on. You just need to know that someone loves us for who we are. You know, life is often quite messy, isn't it? And love is messy. It's not nice and simple. You know, it's not just a matter of three or four friends sitting around having a coffee, chatting about life. Sometimes it is that. But sometimes it's actually sacrificing and going the extra step for people who we don't know that well, but we know that they need a hug. You know, Paul talks about this in Colossians 1. He says, I want you to know how glad I am that it's me sitting here in this jail and not you. There's a lot of suffering to be entered into in this world, the kind of suffering that Christ takes on. Paul says, I welcome the chance to take my share in the church as part of that suffering. When I became a servant in this church, I experienced this suffering as a sheer gift, God's way of helping me serve you, laying out the whole truth. Now, Paul makes it clear here that he's not only prepared to suffer for the church, but he's actually prepared to die for them. And that, to me, is unbelievable true love. What a commitment, you know. When that commitment to suffer for others in the church takes hold, we know that the Holy Spirit is actually going to bring about a powerful alignment. We know God is at work then. And I see it happening. I see it happening. When this unconditional love is our DNA, wow, it just lines up with what the Holy Spirit's on about. Suffering is different for all of us. For some it means ministering in another country and it's tough. For some it means driving down the street or going across the road or going across the pew, going to the next seat. Inviting a uni student into your home for a meal. So I guess the call is there for us to risk both ways. To risk moving towards people, even though you feel pretty vulnerable, and to risk moving towards people to love them. I think as Emily brought out, it happens both ways. When you move towards out of vulnerability and fear, and someone loves you, you actually receive the love, but it also goes back that way as well. It's a mutual thing. So there's a call for us to risk moving towards people, to accept and to include. There's a call for spiritual fathers and mothers to actually lead one another on, to model suffering. You know, I believe that's a very crucial aspect, to model sacrificial giving. It's a crucial aspect to help Australians see that this Christianity stuff works. So we see the reality of the healing community of God revealing His love and embrace through others. I see it happening. I see it in evidence. And when it happens, people are more and more released and empowered and to love and serve others, and the kingdom grows. So loving Christ-centered relationships is not just a good idea, it's the essence of what God is on about. It's the essence of life. I pray that more and more you'll take a risk and be a part of it. Continue to be a part of it. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much. We thank You so much for Jesus, who gives us the example of a loving relationship where He dies for us. Father, I thank You for everyone in this place this morning. You know the risks that they've taken even to be here. Father, You know the ministry they've had with people and how it's cost them. You know the sacrificial giving, the embracing, the accepting, the including in. You know all that, Lord. And You also know the excluding and the refusing or the unwillingness to move beyond our comfort zone to someone else. You know all that. And I just thank You that You are the God of grace and gives us more grace. And so, Father, we just want to thank You for grace. I want to thank You again for the cross. We want to thank You for Jesus, the one who died that we might live. The one who died that we might overflow with His love and grace to other people. So, Father, now as we take communion, I pray that it can be a significant time where we reflect again on how You've treated us, and the overflow will be that we treat others in the same way, in a loving, Christ-centered relationship. Lord, take us on in this journey, which is an exciting journey of faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.